The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. My last hour on the fan tonight, back-to-back five-hour KM to AMs. It's open mic time, whatever you guys want to talk about. Random things are fine. Like, I'm watching this Clippers game. And their rebrand has been excellent. I don't think their team's going to be that good. They're 3-4, whatever. We'll see when Kawhi wants to play or can play. I don't want to say wants to play. They're led by James Harden. And, you know, Steve Ballmer, when you talk about owners in sports, like, that guy came in with a vision. It's crazy to see that it's already here, right? The Clippers were sharing the Staples Center with the Lakers. And to have an owner that comes in and is like, nah, we're going to build the Intuit Dome. We're going to build a big-ass wall only for Clippers fans, which he kind of stole from the Nets. The Nets have the block, the Brooklyn Brigade. That, like, all those seats are only for members of the Brooklyn Brigade. Shout out to y'all, bro. I'll see y'all soon. I miss watching games with y'all. I haven't been to Barclays Center yet. But back to L.A., the Clippers. I didn't even know what a Clipper was. When I was young, I thought the Clippers were like, zzz, like buzzers to give you a shape up. The Clippers are from like a ship, the clips, the wings of a ship. And now I'm watching when their rebrand, they have a ship logo in the middle of the court, a half court. And then they also have by the scorer's table this sign that says make waves. And I'm like, if you've seen the videos and the things that have come out of the Intuit Dome, the LA Clippers' new building for themselves, it's awesome. It's awesome. When's Woody Johnson going to build the Jets their own spot so they can get out of MetLife Stadium? 888-808-1019. Speaking of the NFL, here are my NFL award winners at the halfway point if the season ended today. Lamar Jackson is your MVP. Lamar Jackson is throwing the ball. He can run the ball. He is effective. He is not throwing interceptions. He's got like 20 touchdown passes, two picks. He is really like just doing it and coming into his own. I root for the guy. I wanted him to knock off Mahomes and them last year, and they lost that first game to Mahomes and them, and they lost that stupid game to the Raiders, but, like, I hope they keep rolling. And they're coming up on Thursday Night Football where they can't have a letdown there. But, yeah, Lamar Jackson is the MVP. Offensive player of the year is his running mate, Derrick Henry, who stupid-ass Jerry Jones could have signed. But, you know, that wouldn't happen because Jerry Jones is – I don't know what Jerry Jones is anyway – Derrick Henry's leading the league in rushing yards, attempts, touchdowns, and they didn't even start the season off like feeding Derrick Henry, and they obviously figured out like King Henry is still King Henry. Offensive rookie of the year, everybody knows, is offensive rookie of the year. He might be runner-up for MVP. It's Jaden Daniels. When I watch Jaden Daniels, and even early in the year when people wanted to compare him to Lamar, I'm like, he's not Lamar. I'm like, low-key, he might be better than Lamar in a couple years, which is crazy to even say. That this kid, as a rookie, is NFL ready and balling to a point where we see in a couple years he might be better than Lamar Jackson, both of them playing in the state of Maryland. Crazy, huh? Yeah, so Jaden Daniels is going to be offensive rookie of the year, not Caleb Williams, not Malik Nabers. It's Jaden Daniels. Stay healthy, kid. On the defensive side of the ball, I think TJ Watt is going to win defensive player of the year. I just think he's a savage. I think the Steelers have already won enough games. They're going to continue winning games. They're going for it. Russell Wilson is active. They add Mike Williams. And, you know, TJ Watt is just a handful. He is just athletic. He's strong. He's long. Pause. He can just do so many things to wreck an offense. And I think he's up there in the running. I think I also saw Trey Hendrickson somewhere, and I'm like, yes, he's got some good numbers. Let me go back to my notes. Trey Hendrickson from the Cincinnati Bengals, you'll see him on Thursday Night Football as well. Like, the Bengals had an early season letdown. They've been better as of late, but when you look at the sack numbers, Hendrickson is up there, and I mean, on his own, like, you can give him that nod. You could say he's potentially up there. Max Crosby, too, on another bad team, that Max Crosby is Max Crosby. But, yeah, I'd have to go with Trey Hendrickson, or T.J. Watt over Trey Hendrickson as my defensive player of the year. Rookie, where I was talking about before, the Rams, and how Les Snead had the famous quote, F them picks, the year they went and won the Super Bowl and gave up their picks. You know why they could say F those picks? Because in the later rounds or whatever round, they know how to draft. They know how to identify talent. Like, you guys want to talk about Shane and Dable? Like, I took a call the other day where they were talking about, well, you got to give Shane credit for this rookie class. Drew Phillips, Tyler Newbin, Tyrone Tracy, Theo Johnson. I'm like, why? Because they're starting and playing? Malik Nabers. Why? Because they're playing. Are they winning? You don't get credit for, like plugging holes and not being successful. Not saying that the Rams are world beaters either, but, like, man, they have guys that just come out and ball. So Jared Verse, I'm also partial to him because I grew up a Florida State football fan. And, I mean, Florida State, coming out of there, I knew he was going to be a beast, a monster. He is getting it done. He's on his way to winning Rookie of the Year. And, I mean, his running mate, they just do it. They find guys, man. They find, what's this other guy's name that's a rookie over there? I'm blanking on his name. Braden something, 55. I got to go look him up. But anyway, I'm blanking, and I got to get back to the calls and finish these superlatives. Defensive Rookie of the Year, Jared Verse. Comeback Player of the Year, yet to be seen. Can Sam Darnold be in that category? I think he can. Some people are going to say it's injury. Like, remember last year? I remember having a rant last year. I'm like, how is Breece Hall not in Comeback Player of the Year discussion? You have Baker Mayfield there. Like, Joe Flacco won it. He wasn't coming back from injury. He was coming back from his couch. Tua won it, I guess. Or not won it, but Tua was in the running. Coming back from a concussion. Damar Hamlin. Like, if anything, Damar Hamlin, it would be this year for Damar Hamlin. He's starting and he's actually playing. Last year, he was just playing special teams. And I know what he came back from. But anyway, 888-808-1019. Whatever you guys want to talk about sports related, we can do in this hour. Comeback Player of the Year, I guess I'd give the nod to Kirk Cousins right now. You like that, Captain I don't know. He came back from injury, but Sam Darnold has been balling. Sam Darnold's kind of coming back down to earth a little bit, turning the ball over. But, man, Kirk Cousins, as much as I was hyped up about Michael Penix Jr. being drafted there, Kirk Cousins has completely held them off, and they look smart for paying Kirk Cousins, and they're going to win that division. Okay, quickly here, too. I am taking the Falcons to win the NFC South. The Washington Commanders to win the NFC East, the Detroit Lions to win the NFC North, and I think there's a sneaky play here. If the Arizona Cardinals can win some games, I think they can win. I don't know about the 49ers. I'm going to take the 49ers. It's their division until it's not. I'll take the 49ers, but I got an eye on the Cardinals. They won back-to-back games. Let's see what they do with the Jets. Speaking of the Jets, it's the Bills to win the AFC East. The Houston Texans lost to the Jets, but they should still figure out how to beat Joe Flacco and Trevor Lawrence and Mason Rudolph to win the AFC South. Baltimore Ravens are going to win the North. The Kansas City Chiefs are undefeated, the best team in football. They're going to win the West. All right, that's what I got. Week 9 going into Week 10, halfway through the NFL season. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Let's talk to Billy in Bayshore, New York.
Keith, what's up, man? How are you?
Good, good. You know, talking sports, watching basketball, looking at some NFL stuff.
That's it, man. Hey, first off, I just wanted to give you a shout-out, man. I know a few weeks ago you put out a really cool post about, you know, talking about your brother that passed and everything you're doing. Just want to say, man, I followed this run through you. You know, I got my 30 years old, a father of a 7-year-old and 2-year-old, and, you know, we took them up and bundled them up to stands to watch game 3 outside and, like, just being around the aura of the stadium. And, you know, I teach them when we go to games, we sit in 203 or 204, and, you know, we teach them where the real fans are. So
yeah.
I just want to say,
awesome.
You know, you did a great job with that stuff, man, for sure. I love following you with it.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Definitely, man. Listen, it was a baseball call. But I you know, to mention my diehard Bengals fans, I'm leading Trey Hendrickson on Defensive Player of the Year. but I had to throw that in there. But I want to talk about Judge and kind of the end of the season and the series. Like, I think you made a great point about Soto. Like, man, he's the Ted Williams of our generation. We got to get it done. And I think the biggest thing for me, man, like, not being talked about a ton, and I've been talking about it to a lot of my buddies and my dad, I'm like, you know, for Hal to show us, these aren't the Yankees that we grew up with. And I think we know that. But I think this year brought a lot of that back for me. You know, being at the stadium, being around the stadium during the playoff time, like, just made me feel like 03, 04, 09, like, it just brought me back there, man.
Yeah.
And I'm just hopeful, and it has talked a lot. What are your thoughts on low years, extreme numbers, AAV for Soto? I mean, I'm talking 60, 65 million. Do you think that's something that Juan could kind of take?
No, and, just because he's so young. He just turned 26 two Fridays ago. Like, he's so young, and he's got Scott Boras. This is Scott Boras's last big payday like this that is going to pay Scott Boras for years to come. What do they get, like 4% of it? So, like,
something like that, yeah.
Yeah, like Boras is looking at this laughing right now, like, yeah, we're going to try and get 15 years, right? Like, really it should be 13 years, maybe 14 years, but he's going to sell Juan Soto and try and get maybe 15 years, and the AAV is going to be 47 and above, right? Like, I think Otani's at 46, so they're going to try and beat Otani from last year. There are people talking about 50 million, but no, 65 million, I don't think it's done. And a short-term deal doesn't get done. Juan Soto is going to sign with a team that he's going to finish his career with, and Scott Boras is going to try and get every penny out of it.
Let's just hope it's with us, man. I mean, every time I've been out in the bleachers this year, he looks like he's having a great time.
Yeah, he belongs there. It's like, it's crazy shit, that he took over right field from Judge, who we're like, this is the Judge's chambers. Judge belongs here.
It's funny. My wife said that. She asked when we went to one of the games, like, where's everybody in the rollers? I'm like, this is Soto territory.
Yeah, that's
now.
Over now. That is done. That's Soto land.
Let's get online and buy a $30 chicken bucket to do our part. That's about it.
We
man.
Do. But, we have been. Hell yeah.
That's it.
Thanks for the call, Billy. 888-808-1019, man. You said something that just triggered me thinking about the Yankees of old. And, you know, when I was younger, I wasn't up at the stadium. My parents didn't bring me up. Like, I brought my parents to the Yankee Stadium. Like, I didn't go to a game with my dad till I was 23. Shout out to my dad if he's listening. I didn't go to a game with my mom until two seasons ago. You know, I just wasn't, you know, I was always a fan. I always watched on TV and played Little League and all that, collected, you know, baseball cards. But I wasn't blessed like some of you listening where, like, you just heard Billy say he's bringing a three-year-old kid to the postseason. Like, that's awesome. You know, even my son doesn't know how blessed he is. Like, you know, it made me think about two things. One, like the Yankee culture, how it's passed down and how, you know, these kids are birthed into it. My son, he can choose whatever football team he wants, whatever basketball team. He didn't have a choice. That Yankee stuff was on him from the first day he entered Earth. And I mean, when we talk about the Yankees of old and the past, and you do go up there, it's still the same location. Obviously, the stadium is across the street now. But what it is like when you're in the bars, when you get off the train and you see some of these people, man, there are Yankee fans that have been there for decades. There are Yankee fans that can tell you about waiting outside for postseason tickets, that can tell you what the stadium was like. You know, like for the Yankees to fail, it didn't remind me of 2004 or 2003, 2001, I wasn't up there during that time. I was a child. I was watching on TV. But what it reminded me is like, yo, we're in a different time where like our dreams turned into absolute nightmares. All of the talk with the Yankees sell about World Series, we had the dream of four more wins and a parade, and that quickly evaporated. That evaporated game one. Game one hurt, and we had to get over it and couldn't get over it. You could tell it bled into game two. And we were out there. Like, we packed Billy's for game one and game two, yo. Like we're there with the ghost of Yankee Stadium as they're in LA. And they gotta get back. They can't miss a year. You went from 82-80 to the World Series. Go from the World Series back to the World Series and have some type of vengeance. Have a chip on your shoulder. Have some type of way about you. Learn from your mistakes. Be better. And bring Juan Soto back, because I think he's got unfinished business as well. 888-808-1019. Brian is in the car next up on the Fan. What's up, Brian?
Hey, Keith. Love your show. So what if we Soto is amazing this year for the Yankees. Obviously, nobody disputes that, and he's a great player. And you got to figure he's going for, let's say, $13,650, right? $50 million a year.
What yeah, it's going to be somewhere around $650 million. Yes.
Yeah. So what are you? What are they? The Yankees have so many holes. Wouldn't they be better served to do a combo of players like a Dan Tandere, like a Christian Walker, like a Corbin Burns or Max Fried or somebody like that? They could, with the money coming off the books with Gleyber, Verdugo, and Rizzo, and you could spread that around. You could get three guys that could propel the Yanks to be obviously top of the league every year for the next 5-6 years. And everybody knows that the last 3-4 years of the Soto contract are going to be an anchor, most likely. So what about a Santander who is a switch hitter, belted 44 home runs, probably is going to get 6-150. Christian Walker, probably get a little bit less, get maybe 4 and 80, let's say 65, 75, 80. And then get a pitcher, get a Snell, get a Burns, get a Max Fried. That's the Yankees need more than just Juan Soto. And I just think that if they back up the Brinks truck for him, I can't see how filling other holes.
No, they will be. Thanks for the call, Brian. I'll take it from here. My argument against that, shout out to my boy Daniel Tierney, who sent me a message. There's a video going around Instagram, Twitter. The guy's name is Stephen Russell Baseball on Instagram. I think this is also on TikTok, where the video starts saying the Yankees should not sign Juan Soto. And he goes on to give you numbers on all of these players from Santander, like we just heard, Alex Bregman. So he goes, Alex Bregman, 7 years, $158 million, or $185 million. They can get Santander, 6 years, $142 million. They can get Blake Snell for X amount. Like, the problem with all that, Christian Walker, 3 years, $72 million. They can get Tanner Scott, 4 years, $60 million. Ha-Seong Kim, 4 years, $49 million. Okay, let me stop you here. And the thing is, like, we can have that conversation in the event that they miss out on Juan Soto. Then that's plan B and C. But it takes two to tango one. Why? These are free agents. Why do you assume they all want to be New York Yankees? People hate the New York Yankees. Why do you assume that all of these guys just want to sign here? Why do you assume that? I don't assume that. Also, why do you assume that all of these guys will thrive here, can play here, can wear the pinstripes and perform, and even perform to the way that they just performed in small market Arizona, Baltimore? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not as simple as, like, these trade machines and these theories that you guys have. I know MLB Network put it out there, and shout out to the good folks over at One Heart's Way, Sea Caucus, and my guy Bill that does the social media is over there. But they put it out, and I piggybacked it on my Twitter November 2nd. This is thoughts on a potential backup plan if the Yankees don't resign Juan Soto. And they put Christian Walker, Anthony Santander, Ha-Seong Kim, Tanner Scott. And my response was, yeah, run it right now, no question. If we were to miss out on Juan Soto, but I don't think they're going to miss out on Juan Soto. And what I'll say before we go to break here and before you call 888-808-1019 is Juan Soto is a generational player. These Juan Soto characters don't come around. You just heard him referred to as the Ted Williams of this generation. You just saw the effect that he had on your team and your fan base. There are Yankee fans that own Juan Soto t-shirts. Me, I've got 4 of them. There are Yankee fans that actually went out and bought Juan Soto jerseys with the Deuce Deuce on them. There are Yankee fans that actually bought Juan Soto with the Deuce Deuce and S-O-T-O on the back and a World Series patch on the front for $270. That whole right side of the stadium is his. He's a stone-cold killer. He has no problem adjusting to New York. He had no problem wearing the pinstripes, hitting in front of Judge, rising to the occasion, sending this team to the ALCS. So I just look at it like, no, what are we talking about? Like, oh, isn't it better? No, it's not better. No, you need to be sitting at the front of the table. And when we come back, I'll give you the other suitors that John Heyman put out there and who people are talking. It's all smoke and mirrors. Really, this is a two-person race, or a two-team race. Two people, if you want to say Hal Steinbrenner and Steve Cohen. But no, my mind is on, you get Juan Soto, you keep Juan Soto. It will make you money. It will make your team better. He can play better. Like, he's already proven. The rest of those guys are gambles. The rest of those guys you don't know about. Keith McPherson on the Fan, 888-808-1019. My show is running out. I will be right back. Do you imagine how hard this would have hit if the Yankees did force that game six? That's all we would have been playing. I'm going back to Cali. That's all people were talking about. Multiple people in the stadium asked me, yo, you going to L.A.? Yo, I heard you on the Fan say your sister lives in L.A. I'm like, chill. This game is not done.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
These outs. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Never going to get over that game five. I'm a fan. I told you it could be elating or it could be devastating. It was both. And the devastation was saved for the very end. They really found a way to kick you in the you-know-what. Anywho, before we went to break, I said I was going to add some suitors to the Juan Soto sweepstakes, and I remind you that this is smoke and mirrors. You can't believe everything you read on Twitter. Don't. You can't believe everything you see. Everybody's going to pretend like they're actually in the game with Soto, but we know he's not leaving New York. He just got a taste in New York. If he leaves the Yankees, it's only going to be for a massive offer from the Mets that the Yankees will not match. And I don't know if that's going to exist. David Stearns is probably going to be like, Steve, we should use caution. So John Heyman did a stream on Bleacher Report where he was talking about the suitors and the teams that have contacted or called Scott Boras about Juan Soto. So you obviously know the Mets and the Yankees. The Dodgers were rumored in the World Series to do that. Can't stand them. And yeah, they're in there. The Blue Jays, I talked to you earlier about, you know, my list. I said they were in on Shohei Ohtani. They're going to be in on Juan Soto. The Red Sox, I did not have. And the Rays, I did not have. Red Sox makes sense. Like, I don't know. They used to spend money, and then, I don't know, they signed Devers. They signed Trevor Story. They signed Masataka Yoshida. Maybe they'll be in for Juan Soto, and maybe Juan Soto wants to get some big poppy Manny Ramirez type of vibes. I doubt it. I don't even want to talk about Juan Soto in a Red Sox jersey. It makes me sick already just even thinking that he's going to go and have conversations with them. I don't think he really is, but whatever. The Tampa Bay Rays? The no rooftop Rays? Juan Soto is about to go to the poverty Rays? No, he's not. No, he's not. But remember, we did hear that they offered Aaron Judge a contract. We were like, damn, I didn't even know y'all had money to do that. I mean, after this mistake that they made, the one guy that they decided to pay, Wander Franco, womp, womp, womp. Where's Wander Franco right now? I wonder. Actually, I don't wonder. He should be under a jail somewhere. Anyway, those are the suitors for Juan Soto, and I'll also add two more. So the Yankees, the Mets, the Dodgers, the Blue Jays, the Red Sox, the Giants, the Rays, and then you can't count out the Baltimore Orioles and the Philadelphia Phillies. You can't count those out. So that's nine teams. And Scott Boras said today he can't put a time frame on it because Juan Soto cares and he really wants to meet with teams and see them face to face and all this. And he really is prioritizing winning. Well, you can, if you're really prioritizing winning, you can cut three or four of those teams out. 888-808 1019. And, you know, we're coming off another Knicks loss. And I'm looking at things on the internet. And, man, I don't know how many times I've been in Yankee Stadium, at least twice, where I've heard Knicks slash Yankee fans chant, F. Trae Young, F. Trae Young. And I'm like, chill, this is not the Garden. But here's what Trae Young had to say in State Farm Arena tonight after this one.
Hope these New York fans find their way to the exit real, real quick. Boo, take y'all ass home. I hope these...
Wow. Wow. I mean, if you watch the game like I did in here, the Knicks fans were being shown on screen. They were really geeked up with like a minute left when the Knicks went on a run. I don't know, man. That's tough. Trae Young gets the last laugh again. He's never going to forget. Somebody in the Garden spit on him. 888-808-1019. Despicable. Josh is in Passaic. Josh, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith. How you doing?
I'm all right.
So first, you were mentioning, you know, the MVPs of the season. Now I'm going to do, you know, the bums of the season. I think it's a combination between, you know, Deshaun Watson, Anthony Richardson. You know, Keith, even though Watson's missed the last two games, he still leads the league in sacks. And Richardson, of like, I think 42 qualified quarterbacks, has the lowest completion rate of any of them.
Terrible. Yeah. Right, so that, yeah, there's a lot of bums. There's some other guys we're probably forgetting, too. But yeah, those guys definitely get the award for disappointments.
Right, among other players you said also, but with the Knicks, Keith, I think they definitely got to fix up the bench. The starters are, you know, they'll play well, but the bench is so short. How much do you think that makes a difference? And, you know, now that they're 3-4 now.
Of course, it makes a difference. Like, you need bodies, you need guys.
You need teams like the Celtics, the Warriors,
and Ryan, and they
always had good players all around.
Say that again, that they've always had good players all around?
The Celtics have more, you know, after Jason Tatum and Jalen Brown, a lot more players, always been around them. You know, see, the Warriors are 7-1 this year, and, you know, they're playing like 10 different people.
You need to. You have to, especially early in the season, to keep guys fresh, to get a feel for who is who and what is what. You can't survive early in the season with 5-6 guys. You got to have some guys. And, yeah, the Warriors were able to defeat the Celtics tonight. Would you look at that?
Right, so, you know, just, you know, you have guys coming with fresh energy. You guys are playing more, so they're preparing more anyway when a guy does get an injury. But just wanted to quick...
Rotations and matchups. Yep, go on.
So with the Jets, I think this trade for Jonathan's about to look much better. I think he just needed a few weeks to adjust. I think we saw, you know, he just needs to, you know, break that ropes through with that touchdown. And watch how he goes on. I mean, I'm out of the Jets fence, you know, I'm not hoping to see this, but... From what I'm telling from that last game, much it just goes on, like, you know, three for the next 5-6 games. And listen, with the Cardinals, I watched a lot of them this year. You know, they're always on the 4 o'clock hours. They do good in the first quarter, then usually slug for the next two and start in for the second time in the fourth quarter. So if the Jets could just hold them in that first quarter, it's going to be too hard to win because the team's weird. They try getting Harrison involved, doesn't work. Then they don't have two. They have the other receivers, not too great pass there. But McBride is very good, and Connor also, but now he's questionable. So I have to see what has status going up to the game. Steve, thanks for taking my call. Have a great night.
Thanks for the call, Josh. Yeah, I mentioned the other two running backs, Mercado and Benson. They got reinforcements. I was looking at those guys on fantasy. I'm cooked in fantasy, bro. Like, my running backs, I'm down, bro. I had to play Rico Dowdle. And Rico actually scored like 23 points last week. Who else? I had to play Rico Dowdle. And I think I played Benson. I picked up Benson off the waiver just because there was a little chatter of him getting to play. And then when Connor went down, it was Benson and Mercado. So, yeah, I don't know. I'll say this about the Cardinals. Like, the Jets got to get a lead on them. And that defense got to hold them down and don't give them any hope. And, yeah, like Josh was just saying, if they're not running away with it in the beginning of the game, the Jets should be able to outlast them. 888-808-1019. Back to the phone we go. Let's go to Joe out on Long Island. Go for it, Joe.
Hey, Keith. What's up, man? How you doing?
Good. Thanks for calling.
Hey, great show. I listen all the time. I was laughing in my call. Maybe it was last week you were saying something like, and Garrett Cole strikes you out, PC Richard and Sound.
Yeah, you know the sound anyway, of the stadium.
Yeah, that was a good one. But listen, I got a question. What do you think? Because I think this is two birds with one stone. What about Aaron Judge moving to first base?
Yeah, I had a caller say that about, like, you know, all of these guys, right? Like, Soto could be, I just don't think we're there yet. Judge will be 33. I think once he's over 35, we start thinking about moving him. But, like, he just played a hell of a center field this year. This guy can run. Yeah, in game five, I'm he's running now. And catching the ball off the fence. Like, yeah, no, Judge in center, or Judge at first base, not for, like, another three seasons.
Well, nobody wants to see Rizzo there right now after what he just
did.
He's
done. He's out of here. There's no shot.
You got to put someone there, and he's a power bat at first. But then, you know, also, like, yeah, that was Judge's only error, and it's a pretty bad time to do it. But, I mean, another reason why he has no errors is he doesn't really lay out for anything. I mean,
he didn't have to lay out. That was just some weird, like, I call it the Nightmare Before Halloween. It got eerie and spooky in there. I'm like, no way did he drop that. He didn't have his eye on the ball. He just took, I don't know, it was just weird. It was right at him.
I mean, I've been a fan since 1996. It was the worst feeling as a Yankee fan I've ever had in, I don't know how many years that is, but it was pretty bad. It was really bad. Yeah, you don't really get any worse than that. I don't think that Soto's coming back. That's my guess.
Why?
I think that just because he'll just go off of money alone, and I think the Mets can offer him more. And I know I heard you talking about the endorsement deals and all that stuff that he has with the Yankees, but I mean, it's clearly it's just the money alone. If you put a figure in front of him, he's probably going to take that contract. That's what I think. And he also looked really like pissed off after the game. I mean, everybody's sad. Everyone had a sad interview, and Soto looked pissed. I mean, and he said something spiteful too. Like, yeah, you know, it's like I forgot exactly what he said, but it was like kind of a shot at the Yankees. But
I listened to the whole thing. I don't know if there was a shot at the Yankees. What I thought was he flipped the question about the fans, where he said, you know, the fans have been great, and they're like, is that going to have any influence on your decision? And he said it should have some influence on Yankee ownership.
Yeah, but did he not look pretty angry during that interview? Like,
we all were angry. I was on the train with my wife. I was sick as hell. I'm like, this sucks. I can't believe this is life. Like, everybody was upset. Like, I understand him being upset, but I also understand him being coached. Thanks for the call, Joe. 888-808-1019. Like, you got to understand, bro. Like, in that moment, like, they have the lasting video of Soto in his helmet, in his full Yankee pinstripes, just watching the Dodgers celebrate. By himself. Judge wasn't sitting next to him. And I know he soaked it in because maybe it's his last moment as a Yankee, but I think he also soaked it in because he's a competitor. He's the most fierce competitor. Go back and watch that at-bat against Hunter Gaddis. I swear I watched that. I don't know how many times I watched that. I'm like, ooh, bro, this guy is different. And being different, when the season ends and you've been coached up since you were a teenager by Scott Boras to say these certain things and to have a poker face and be ready for your moment, he was ready. He was more than ready. I didn't like it, but I don't have to like it. That's playing the game to get your money. And if you're saying, I think Soto's going to leave because in theory, Steve Cohen is the richest owner and can offer him the most money, David Stearns will have a say in that. How far is Steve Cohen going to extend? And I know you guys think it's just money. There are advisors. There are family members. There are friends. He's going to make this decision not strictly off of money. The money can't be so far away. It can't be multiple millions away. I think $5 million of a difference might be too much. A year, definitely a year, but like in grand total. I think the Yankees got to come to play. They got to match it. And like, I think the only way that it could be potentially less, if we get a report that, I don't know, it's 650 versus 655, is if the Yankees unveil something, which I know how they operate. They have some secret tricks up their sleeve and things and endorsements, and they're going to show him some stuff. Like, hey, you signed with us. Here comes this commercial from Bank of America, Delta, Dunkin' Donuts, blah, blah, blah. Like that's real. And you think Under Armour, who advises him, is not going to say, hey, we're going to have a better job. We're going to have a better opportunity here selling Yankees Juan Soto merch. And I don't know how this orange and blue Soto merch is going to play Juan. Like, that stuff does matter. But the Yankees cannot disrespect Juan Soto and think that they're going to get a hometown discount because he's not a hometown guy. They had him for a year. But they gave up so much for him that I'm sure that they're going to come to the table and be ready to play. From chart-topping band, the Avett Brothers come swept away a breathtaking new Broadway musical with jaw-dropping thrills and unforgettable performances. This mighty tale of shipwreck, survival, and the power of brotherhood will leave your soul feeling brand new. Tickets at SweptAwayMusical.com. Another five-hour KM to AM in the books, man. Appreciate y'all. Like, I made sure not to book one single guest. I made sure to take as many calls as I could. So let's take my last calls, and I'm out of here. C-Mac is coming up next. We had some fun tonight talking about a bunch of different things from Scott Boras, and I opened up making my own Boras bars, trying to make some puns for all of our WFAN hosts. And then we got into the Juan Soto sweepstakes conversation, of course. That's going to go on all day, every day. Juan Soto is the song that doesn't end. He's replaced Aaron Rodgers in that regard. We started talking about the Jets and Joe Douglas speaking and Wink Martindale taking a shot at the Giants. And then the Knicks game was going on, and the Knicks find a way to lose that one, and now they better beat the Bucks in Madison Square Garden. And like I said, you're going to hear everybody in there and every emotion in there. But, yeah. All right. I've got 6 minutes to take these last three calls. C-Max coming up next. Let's go to Tim out on Staten Island on the Fan.
Hey, what's up, Keith? How you doing tonight?
Good. Thanks for calling.
Love the show, man. I think you have great potential. I hope that you could be at the top of the station one day.
Sure thing.
Just back to this game five. I mean, nobody will ever get over it. It felt like they had a breakthrough, and then they literally just booted it away, and it was done by the biggest stars on the team, like Judge and Cole, and even Volpe, who was starting to butt a little bit for that matter. I mean, it was just an absolute knife in the gut. And I still feel like, you know, like phantom pain from game.
And that's how we were meant to be left to feel. Like I said, dreams and nightmares. It was emblematic of the team that we actually watched all year. We've seen things like that happen all year.
But with Soto, I don't really like this idea that there's so many holes in the team. Granted, that fifth inning showed us that they're fundamentally broken in some regards. But, I mean, we got to Game 5 of the World Series. We had that breakthrough. If we were going back to L.A., the Dodgers were in for some trouble, especially if Judge woke up.
In theory.
Now, when it comes to Soto, it kind of reminds me of the Robbie thing where they let the big guy walk and then they try to replace him with Ellsbury and Beltran. Mm. But Ellsbury was a disaster, and it goes to show you don't know who's going to come to New York and play.
Right. Thanks for the call, Tim. I just got to get a word in before my time runs out. With Cano that year, they knew what Cano was. Jay-Z was representing Cano. Like, they knew not to do that. And then also the response, you know, having Tanaka and Beltran and Brian McCann and Jacoby Ellsbury. And, like, that response was because it was Derek Jeter's last season. They knew that, too. And they were trying to get the captain to the postseason. This is way different, man. This is way different. And what I'll say about Juan Soto is he's a generational player, and Hal Steinbrenner knows that his business is driven by having star players. And when there's a big fish to get, a white whale like Garrett Cole or a Aaron Judge who breaks the AL home run record, they pay those guys, man. And you know what Cashman does in the in-between spots? He has these Cashman finds. He finds these gems. He goes to the bargain bin, clearance rack, and he pulls out some Gucci. I didn't even know that Gucci was in there. Yeah, it was half off. Well, we're going to turn it into something. Like, that is what he does. And then they also have young talent on the way. Like, they have a plan for this, man. It's not what you think. What I think it is part of the healing process. You lose the World Series, do not lose out on Juan Soto. This fan base needs to heal, and that will not help. Gary's in Waterbury. What's up, Gary? You're on the Fan.
I smash teeth, F your beef, no relief. I step on stage.
The girls scream like I'm Keith.
And you know what? Foo Philly, Cashman sucks. How many years have I been saying that? I do want Cashman and Boone out. Seriously.
It's never going to happen.
Sometimes, yeah, but I understand. But sometimes change is good for change.
No, they just made it to the World Series. They're not changing a damn thing. Not with the management, not with the GM.
I know this, and Judge has to be at first base next year.
No, Gary.
I want Judge. Yes.
He just played. He was an all-star in center field. Like I just said, he was jumping against the wall, taking a ball away from Freddie Freeman. He made one mistake.
He has to go to first base ASAP.
Not for me. Gary, you're the man. I appreciate you getting in here before my show ends, but my guy Joe Schmeezy's going to be the last call. I got to get him on. Let's go to Joe out in Rutherford. Bleacher Creatures on both sides of the phone.
Here, what's up, my man, Keith? Another KMKM in the book.
Say that. Yes,
listen,
sir.
I'll be quick. You know, it hurt hearing the Dodgers throw dirt on our name the last few, you know, days. But
piling on.
You know, we're gonna rise up. You know what I mean? Come April, opening day, we're going to be at the Bodega. We're going to be doing it. But one person that I don't know if I want to see around the stadium is Fat Joe. I think I'm going to leave it on that. I think Fat Joe's cooked.
Blaming the election on Fat Joe, too, because he came out and endorsed Kamala Harris. They said the Fat Joe curse lives on. The Fat Joe curse is real.
It's real. All right? Love you, brother.
Hey, yo, appreciate it, Joe. Joey Crack. Yo, shout out to Fat Joe, man. I feel bad. Like, that's one of those internet things. Like, he's become a meme now. Like, it's going to take a long time to get rid of that. He don't deserve that. I saw him in Legends Game 5. People were showing him love, and he was trying to keep a low profile. And like I said, I go back 10 years from the fan cave. Joey used to pull up every Tuesday and, you know, tell me stories of the Bronx about how they wanted to kill French Montana in the Bronx, and people were brandishing firearms in broad daylight. And you don't understand. Like, when Fat Joe freshly got out of jail, I was with Fat Joe. And I would have never imagined I'm in Legends Game 5 of the World Series going on the fan after talking to Fat Joe. Like, I'm just saying, what's up, bro? Never mind the internet. There is no curse. Ah, man. And Fat Joe be at the games. He was there to see us, the DS. It didn't have to be this way. Has nothing to do with Fat Joe. Tim's on the mound. I blame it on Ja Rule. I got 100 guns, 100 clips. Like, nah, you shouldn't have went with that one, bro. If anything, bring Jadakiss out. Never mind. I don't have enough time. Chris McMonagle's coming up next. I'll be on after Thursday Night Football, and then I'm out for like a week. Peace.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The man. WFAN New York.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.